1089. That's how it all works. I was reading these staggering figures about divorcing parents and what happens to the kids in the wake of that. But certainly when I was, my parents didn't divorce. And when I was a kid, about the age of, you know, when you're little, sort of 8, 9, 10, 11, your mind starts to think about, you know, what happens if one of your parents dies? Oh, how terrifying is that? What happens if one of your parents divorces? And they're sort of little momentary thoughts that just go through your mind as a kid. I guess all part of that development of being aware of your relationship with your parents and the like. I remember thinking, you know, if my mum and dad ever separated, it would be the most horrific, unthinkable thing that could ever happen. My mind didn't stray into the consequences. Just the mere idea that they would ever split was terrifying to me. And I didn't really know many people. And when I look back, and I was thinking about this throughout the day, look back at all my mates in the classroom, and I can't really think of many of those kids that were from divorced families. Few from dodgy families, but I can't really recall a high divorce. There were a couple where you were aware that the guy living in the house might not have been the dad, but generally, even in those few short years, it hasn't. There was clearly a shift, and it hasn't really left me, that image of going to school with most kids who had two parents at home. One in three kids lose contact with their fathers after a divorce. How could that ever happen? One in three kids lose contact with their father after a divorce. I mean, where would you have to be on the scale? Where would your mind be on the scale of basic decency and sanity for somebody to deny access to their kids? I'll level with you here. I need some education on this one, because some of the figures I'm reading today, research carried out by one law firm, there you go, it's easy done, one law firm, showed that children can suffer during divorce. Most parents said their child's welfare was their priority, but half admitted going to court over access, and one in five wanted to damage their ex-partner. That's where you come in here. 08717 223344. It's about 350,000 kids in this country are affected by parents either divorcing or separating every single year. This is a huge story. Kids thinking, something like 8% of kids have thought about suicide. Suicide. Because their folks had split up. What you have here are clear cases of one parent or the other making it really, really difficult for the other parent to see the kids. Now, of course, the buffoonery and the nastiness of that really speaks for itself. But what is most mysterious about saying to a kid you're not seeing your dad and stopping the kid from seeing the father and stopping the father from coming anywhere near the house and taking out injunctions and all sorts of other unsavoury things, that when that kid gets to a certain age where they're old enough to understand, they are likely to full square turn about face on you and reverse their loyalties to the person they've never seen. You'll become the worst kind of character, and away they go for a new life with the parent they haven't seen for many years. That's just pretty much always what happens. So why a parent would wish to do that? 08717 223344. I've got friends and lots of friends who've been in this position where they haven't got two parents. A couple of my best mates haven't got two parents, and with varying results as to how that happened. One mate, his parents split, and it all worked out really quite well, and it was somehow sold to him that, don't worry, you're going to have like two lives now, because mummy and daddy haven't fallen out and they're really good mates, but dad's going to live there, mum's going to live here, and you can go and stay with him on the weekends. It's funny how that always works that way, but it does. Stay with him on the weekends and have a great time, because he lived in a different kind of environment, more countryfied, and she lived in the town on an estate, and that it gave him a different grounding there. It's brilliant, absolutely incredible. But most don't seem to be like that. And the mere idea you would try and hurt your kids. 20% of separated parents admitted they had actively set out to make their partner's experience as unpleasant as possible, regardless of the effects this had on their kids. They set out to make the experience as unpleasant as possible, regardless of the effects it had on their kids. Who does this? Where have you got to be on the scale of basic decency and sanity for that to be your prime motivation behind the divorce? Let's try and make this difficult and nasty and bitter. It's a rough old experience where somebody doesn't want to be with you, whether you're married or not. It hurts. Of course it does. Most of us have been there at some point. Most have been on the other side of it at some point as well. It's never, none of those things are ever by definition going to be very pleasant. But the idea that you somehow use the kids as pawns in this rather awful game of parents or couples falling out is about as obscene as it gets. 50% admitted putting their kids through an intrusive court process over access issues and living arrangements. Don't necessarily have to do that. Isn't the deal, again, I need your help on this. I need educating on this. It's not my field. My parents didn't divorce. It hasn't affected me. And I haven't been in that position where I know how one reacts when you've got to decide where the kids go. So that's alien territory for me. But if you're familiar with it, only too familiar, and you know what it's like to have your heart shattered into about 10,000 pieces, because the kids that have been around you forever, you're suddenly told, sorry, you're not seeing them anymore. And, you know, sometimes, even despite a court order that might say you've got to see them, what can happen is that often the mother will say, sorry, you're still not seeing them. And it doesn't matter what happens. The court is very reluctant to rule that the kids shouldn't be with the mother and imprison the mother. What are you going to? There's the catch-22. They're not going to put the mum in prison because, well, why would you do that? That's more damaging. So often these orders from the courts appear to be left alone. If you've experienced the dire trauma, the injustice of what that is like, and it does happen the other way around, but we all know that invariably it's dad who can't get to see the kids because the mum has got, it seems, full-time custody, I don't know if that's the word to use now, residency, whatever it is, of the children. Just seems to be that way around. If you've been there and you know only too well how it feels to have to go through the traumatic and pretty uncomfortable, heartbreaking process of coming to terms with the fact that either you're never going to see your kids in the foreseeable future, or if you are, it's going to be a real battle, a proper battle, that it's going to take everything, financially, your might, your will, your spirit, and the system will try and break you along the way, but you're determined not to let it happen. I want to get a litmus test of the nation here this evening as to just how common this is. It's not just about the issue of divorce. It's about how kids are treated within the divorce and how you find yourself as invariably the father, but it might well be the mother. And if it is, I want those calls as well. But invariably the father, how you felt that hand was dealt to you and how you began to put your life back together without the little ones that you'd spent every day with, and Christmases and birthdays and holidays and larking around and doing dad type things. That's all gone. That's finished. And what kind of supercharged character, and there are many words you could use there, would wish to do that? Knowing full well your kids will probably turn on you in years to come, who would do that? 20% admitted they had actively set out to make their partner's experience as unpleasant as possible. 1 in 3 kids lose contact with their father after... How can we be in that position in a civilized society? I would have thought it was pretty easy that if you divorce... That's it. You're both allowed to see the kids whenever you... None of this. You hear it so often. You hear blokes, and a tear comes to my eye when I hear this. You hear blokes go, yeah, I'm allowed to see the children for 3 hours every 2 weeks. 3 hours? Where's the mother in this picture? Where's the mother who would say, well, sorry, you can see the kids whenever you like? If you didn't make your marriage work, that's your lookout. Your door should be an open door for your partner to come along, see your kids whenever they want to. You might have to make a phone call first. That's just reasonable. Both have moved on with their lives. But end off. That's it. Doors always open. Anytime you like. Kids can go over there. You can come over here. Whatever you want. There's going to be no rules and barriers. And any parent that makes those barriers without some pretty darn good reasons has something severely going on upstairs that is pretty unpleasant. Or perhaps even just start raving mad. 08717 223344. We'll take your calls on this issue. And just let's try and build that British landscape. We have a huge audience listening, a huge and growing audience, I should add, listening to The Late Show here on Talk Sport. We can get a reasonable litmus test of what that picture looks out there, particularly for fathers who are denied any kind of contact or pretty minor contact with their kids for no good reason. Done nothing wrong, just a divorce. And the other half said, no, I'm going to just really, really make this hard. 08717 223344. Don't go away, Stuart, Russell, Jason with you guys in just a second. Lines are open if you're